So we're on the bottom here of Chaf Gimel Amid Beis. You count up five lines from the bottom. Kiman Ki Rabbi Shimon. Now this Kiman is a continuation of Rav Huna with regard to the Braisa. And if you remember, we had an area that was a karpaf, which means a besasayim, but half, well, I shouldn't say half, but the majority of this besasayim he used to plant vegetables, which means that he used it as a gina, and that's the opposite of what we call hukaf lidira. So that if the entire area, not just the majority, had been used to plant vegetables, then it would be a karpaf with an isur tiltul. But here, part of the area was designated as, the majority of the area was designated for planting vegetables, but the minority was not used for vegetables, and it was like a chatzer. It was something that he used for dira. He had his own purposes for it. So you might think that I go basar rov. In other words, the majority is being used as a vegetable patch, and therefore it would be a karpaf with an isur tiltul. It's got a beis asayim, and the part that's not being used for vegetables will sort of like be swallowed up. And if we add A plus B, A being the majority and B being the minority, we have a total area of beis asayim, and therefore there should be an isur tiltul. And Rav Huna says that this is the Braisa, we're going to paskin like this Braisa, that we don't add together these two elements, A plus B. And since the area that's lo hukaf ledira, which is the vegetable patch, is less than a karpaf in its area, therefore it's mutar betilt. Now the Gemara wants to identify that opinion as that of Rabbi Shimon. Disnat. Now for this, we would have to learn a Mishnah at the almost at the tippy end of Masechta Erevin, the Mishnah of Rabbi Shimon, and there's a machlokas there between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Now, the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim has to do with what's called Kalim Sheshavsu. That means, where were these utensils at the moment of sunset on Friday night? And we're going to divide up areas into two categories, one of which has three subcategories to it, and the other has one. The three subcategories are Chatzer, Gina, and Karpaf. Okay, we'll see what that means. And the other category is called a bias. Now, one simple difference between these two categories is whether there's a roof on top. So in the case of a bias, there's a roof on top. So let's say you had kalim, you had utensils that, with sunset on Friday night, were inside the bias. Then there are going to be very strict rules about where you're allowed to take those kelim. Let's say you could take them out to your chatzer, maybe, because your chatzer is an extension of your bias. So that when, again, if I had a whiteboard, I'd write these two words on the board. When you're kone shvisa means you acquire your resting place. So when the utensils acquired their resting place, they were inside the bias, and the chatzer maybe is an extension of the bias. But now you want to take them beyond the chatzer into areas which are called karpifos or other ginos, let's say, for example, then that's going to be a problem. And in a minute we'll get to the machlokes between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. But what happens if the utensils were kone shvisa, again, at sunset on Erev Shabbos, not inside the bayis, but out in the chatzer? So Rabbi Shimon is going to be very lenient in this case. And he's going to be considering those three areas, which is called Chatzeros, Karpifos, and Ginos, as one. Let's assume, and we'll have to clarify this for sure as we go along, that all these areas are owned by one person. So you're the balabas, you have a house, in front of the house you have a courtyard, and beyond the courtyard you have Karpifos and Ginos. And Rav Shimon is going to allow you, insofar as you're the owner of all these areas, to move these utensils from one such area to the other, as long as, with sunset on Erev Shabbos, they were in one of these areas. Let's say they were in the Chatzer. So the Chatzer and the Karpaf and the Gina are all one extension, according to Rav Shimon. So let me read to you the note here. You have it in front of you as well. I think it's number 21. He says the following: transferring articles between different types of areas is somewhat similar to taking an object from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, or vice versa. And we're going to deal with an Issur D'Rabbanan, that again, when areas are so characteristically different one from the other, it's kind of like, you know, the Torah, the Bible would say that the most extreme different kind of areas are Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, without Sado Raisa. And Mirabbanan, you're going to have a Ke'en Hotzah, taking it from one domain to the other, when you have these different areas, which we'll get into, the Chatzah, the Karpaf, and the Gina. And therefore, by virtue of rabbinic injunction, it is forbidden to carry between certain types of areas, even though technically they're all Rishus HaYochid, and they all belong to the same person. And here's where we get to the machlokas between Rav Shimon and Chachamim. First, the Chachamim. This is L'chumra. And the Chachamim say that we're going to take all these outdoor areas that are not roofed, which fit into three categories of Chatzeros, Karpifos, and Ginos, and they are going to be prohibited by virtue of this injunction, this enactment, Mirabbanan, to take from one such area to the other. Rabbi Shimon says all outdoor areas, which have no roof on top of them, are similar enough so that they're not included in this gzera. Again, you can have an isur to take it from the bayis to one of these outdoor areas, and Rabbi Shimon is going to be on board and accept that isur d'Rabbanan. But to transfer from one outdoor area to another outdoor area of these three categories that we mentioned, Rav Shimon is mati. However, to transfer from an indoor to an outdoor area, then even Rav Shimon agrees is included in this gzeira d'rabbanan. So therefore, if you have an object that with sunset on Friday night, it was located in the bayis, inside the house, then you're allowed to carry it out to a chatzer, your courtyard, but you cannot, even according to Rav Shimon, you cannot carry it from the chatzer into a gino or into a karpaf. Why? Because then you're going, even according to Rav Shimon, from one rishus to another rishus, right? The karpaf is a large area. We'll see about the gino in a minute. And the karpaf is sort of like a Rishus HaRabim. It's so large. And that's why the Rabbanan said that you're not allowed to carry in a karpaf. If this kli was Kone Shvisa in the bayis is like a, I shouldn't say like, the bayis is a Rishus HaYochid. And the karpaf is now on a rabbinic level like a Rishus HaRabim. It's a radically different kind of area. It's lo hukaf l'dira, it's not part of your residence. And therefore, this kli could not be moved from the bais to the karpaf or vice versa. However, if the article began on Shabbos in the chatzer, then, according to Rav Shimon, he's allowed to carry it from the chutz into the karpov against the chachamim who asked it. Okay, so let's read Rav Shimon inside. The Gemara says, "Kevan shenizra rubo, havi le havi hahu miuta." If let's say he had a karpov and most of it was planted, and less than half was left unplanted, havi hahu miuta, the lesser unplanted portion is too small of an area, and the karpaf remains mutter. So that Rabbi Shimon, when he allowed you to carry a keli that was shoves in a chutzer out to a karpaf, he's talking exactly about our karpaf, the sugya that Rav Huna was dealing with and we discussed yesterday, where this karpaf has the size of a karpaf, but it's not all planted, and a minority of it is left unplanted. And Reb Shimon says that that kind of a karpaf, where you're allowed to carry in the karpaf because part of it is left unplanted, so you don't have a full besos sayim of a planted karpaf, then you'd be allowed to take something from a chotzer into this karpaf, lishitoso, according to Reb Shimon, his unique shita, that if it was shoves and a chotzer, you're allowed to carry it into a karpaf or vice versa. Again, you have to assume, says Reb Shimon, that the karpaf itself is muta betiltel. So how do you get a karpaf that's muta betiltel if it has the size of a beis hasayim? And the answer is, although part of the karpaf, most of the karpaf, is lo hukaf lidira, which would generate the iser karpaf, but part of the karpaf, which would make up the beis hasayim, the minority, was not planted, and therefore we can consider it as hukaf lidira. That's going to impact on the entire karpaf and give it a status of a hukaf lidira, and there's a heter tiltel inside, and once we extend that heter tiltel to the case of a chatzer, we're going to allow taking the keli from the chatzer, according to Reb Shimon, out into the karpaf. Kiman ki Rabbi Shimon, disnan, where is this Rabbi Shimon? And that's the mission at the end of Masechta Erevin. And the Mishnah says that Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echad Gagos, the Echad Chatzeros, the Echad Karpafos, Rishus Achasem Likelim Sheshavsu B'Tochan. So we have this Mishnah, and we're talking about roofs. So when we say roofs, a roof is not roofed, if you follow what I mean. So you're on top of the bayis, and that has the same status as chatzeros and karpifos, because they're all considered rishus echad, or rishus achas to be more precise, legali kelim sheshov subetocha. So you've got, again, just to go over it one more time, kelim sheshov subechatzer, Mutalot siyam lechotz acheres o legag o lekarpaf, and here we have to ask the following question. Okay, and this is I'm just going to mention it. We're going to have to get into this at the end of the Masechta Erevin, but there's going to be an issue. What happens if these different areas are owned by different people? Now, intuitively, you know, without seeing the sugya, I would have assumed that according to Rav Shimon, the chatziros, the gagos, and the karpifos are all considered rishus achas if the following condition is met: they're owned by one person. The truth is that that's not correct. And even if these various areas are owned by different people, you're allowed to carry it from one to the other. Now again, exactly how you do that, And is there an Erev if they're belonging to different people? You know, Erev Chatzeres or whatnot? I don't know. Hopefully, we'll be a little smarter as we get deeper into the sugya. Chachamim, on the other hand, hold that all these different areas are called Rishuyos Nifrados, separate Rishuyos. And they would hold that even if the Chatzer, Karpaf, or Gagos were owned by one individual, you would not be allowed to carry from one of these areas to the other. So if the Kli was called a Shvisa and a Chatzer, you would not be allowed, according to the Chachamim, to bring it out into your own Gag or Karpaf, again in both directions. And that's the Shita of the Chacham. Okay. Now we say the following, that Velo Lekalim Sheshovsu Besocha Bais, that Rabbi Shimon agrees that although you're allowed to take objects from your bais into your chatzer, however, if the kelim was shoves on Friday in the bais, you're not allowed to take them from the chatzer to the gag or to the karpaf. And now we have to add, even though it's your own chatzer, your own gag, your own karpaf, but since it was Konish Shvisa in the bayis, that's like a Rishus HaYochid Gemura. You know, it's a roofed area that's an absolute, clear-cut, recognizable Rishus HaYochid, and the Rabbanan prohibit you from taking it to another Rishus, which is like a Rishus HaRabim, even though it's yours. So to a certain extent, the Chatzer has a middle category, if you find me. It's like, it's not here and not there. What do I mean? It's sort of like an extension of the bayis, because if the keli was kona shvis in the bayis, then you're permitted to take it out to your chotzer. But on the other hand, it's an area that's very similar to a karpaf or a gina, because if the kli, according to Rav Shiva, was kona shvis in a chotzer, you're allowed to take it out to a karpaf or to a gag, or vice versa. But if it was Kona Shvisa in the house, you would be allowed to take it out to the Chotzer, but not from the Chotzer into a Karpaf or a Gag. So I'm going to read to you a little bit of the Hebrew beer. He says, Mikomakom Kevin Sheshovsu B'Knisa Sayo B'Toch HaBayis. Rav Shimon is going to agree that if these Kalim, with the onset of Shabbos, found themselves in the house, also Lotzia Mea Chotzer, you could take it out to the chotzer, but not from the chotzer to the gag or to the karpaf, even though all of the above are owned by one person, because we view the bias as a separate rishus when we compare it to the karpaf or to the gagos. He writes here, Ubir Haran, Sha'af Shemutu Lahotzi Min HaBayis LeChotzer. If the chotzer is your personal chotzer, you own it, you're allowed to take something from the bais to a chotzer. Mikomakom chotzer shayeches lebayis yoser meakarpaf kevin shachotzer miucheres l'tashmish habayis. So the chotzer is sort of like an extension of the resonance in your house, and therefore im chotzer habayis hem shal adam echad. Mutal alahotzi min abayis lechotzer. Avalahotzi kli sheshovas bibayis lekarpaf osu. So the Gemara asks the following kasha now. Let's see if we can understand the Gemara's kasha. This particular sugya, Rabos, I have to tell you, is particularly challenging because there's so much here that depends upon the end of Masechta Erev. But we'll try to do the best we can. The Rav Shimon Nami, even according to Rav Shimon, we can assume that within a karpaf that has the shear of Beis Sosayim, and the majority of which was planted as a vegetable garden, that's called Nizra Rubo, then you're not allowed to be metaltel inside this karpaf. One second, that you're not allowed to be metaltil in the karpaf when it's nizra rubo. Even though, again, in order to get the shear of base asaim, you have to add the part that's not planted. Came under nizra rubo. Havi le, havi ahu mi uta. In other words, that part of the base asaim of the karpaf that was not planted is the miut. It's the minority. And therefore, on the top of Daf Chav Dalet, Batalei Legabi Ruba. We have a principle called Azlina Basa Ruba. The miut, the minority, is Batel. It loses its status, its identity vis-a-vis the Rove. And therefore, we're going to consider it as if the entire Karpaf was planted, and it has the shear of Beis HaSayim, and therefore it's also Betilta. Vavilei Karpaf Yosemi Beis HaSayim, the Osir. How do you know, that's what the Gemara is asking, that Rav Huna's business that, you know, since the Beis HaSayim is made up of two parts, therefore it's not a, there's no Issa Tilta to that Karpaf, it's not considered low hukaf ledir because you have the minority that's not planted. How do you identify that with Rav Shimon? Right, you said Kir Rabbi Shimon, Kemayin Kir Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara now is saying, I don't get it. I mean, who tells you that this would fit into Rabbi Shimon? Maybe Rabbi Shimon would hold that the miut is bottled to the rov, and that the entire karpaf is a base asayim, which is also betiltal. Eli Yitmar, Hochi Yitmar. We're going to reformulate the concept of Rav Huna. Rav Huna, when he explained the Braisa, what he meant was the following. Right, the Braisa says that Nizra Rubo Shel Karpaf is Osur Betaltel Betocho. You're not allowed to carry in the Karpaf. And we'll say the following. Im Nizra Rubo Osulataltvo Hami Uta Shari. If he only planted in the 49th percentile of the Karpaf, then he's gonna be permitted to carry in the Karpaf. Because the majority, the 51% holdings of this Karpaf were designated for Dira, it's residential, it's like a chutzah, it's like an extension of his house. He's not planting there. And on that, Amar Rav Huna b'Rei de Rav Yoshua, that if it was Nizra Mi'uto, only 49% was planted, and now you're going to be permitted to be metaltil. On that statement, that ruling of the Braiser of Huna attached his embellishment, his qualification. He says, Lo Amoron, El de Lo Havi, Beis Sayin. Right, the Mokom HaNizra, we said, was only 49%. But what happens if the Mokom HaNizra, which is only a minority, it's only 49%, is large enough to be a Beis Sayin? Then we see it as a separate independent area. It's a makom bifnei atzmo. I'm sorry. So what I meant to say is that if the minority is what is Nizra, and that minority has less than a Beis HaSayim, then it's not considered a Mako Mifnei Atzmo, and it's bottled to the rope. So now I can carry in this Karpaf from beginning to end, even in the area that's planted. Avol Beis HaSayim. What happens if this 49%, which is planted, is in itself a Beis HaSayim? then it becomes a makom b'fnei atzmo. It's a separate, independent area, and it's not batel to the entire gina, to the entire karpaf. I mean, asur. Then you're not allowed to carry in this karpaf, even in the area that's not nizra. So let's go over it one more time. If the 49% is less than a beis asayim, then it's batel to the rov, and you can carry anywhere in the karpaf, even in the planted area. If, on the other hand, that 49%, which is planted, is a full beis asayim, then the karpaf becomes osur by virtue of that 49%, which is planted, and it's a beis asayim, and the entire karpaf now becomes osur. So either the entire karpaf is mutter, in a case where the minority was nizra, and it's less than a beis, and that minority is less than a beis asayim, everything's mutter, the whole karpaf, or the entire karpaf is osur if that minority 49% of nizra equals the area of a beis asayim. And he writes here, Kevon shamokom shenizra, v'amokom shelo nizra, nechshavim l'shnei makomos nifradim, shamokom hanizra choshiv karpaf, hamokom shelo nizra choshiv chotzer, v'yosu l'taltel mizeh l'zeh. Oh, so now we get to the principle called parutz, our favorite parutz. Right? What was parutz? Parutz means you have an area that's mutter b'tiltel, but it opens up into an area that's aser b'tiltel. So now we have it. We've got 49% of this karpaf is nizra, and it's a beis asayim. In and of itself, the other area, which is the 51% that's not nizra, would be mutter b'tiltel, but nein, it's aser b'tiltel. Why? Because it's a makom ha-mutter b'tiltel, that's parutz le-makom she-aser b'tiltel. It's infected, so to speak. I mean, today you're not allowed to use that word, infected, right? But it means that we view the karpaf to some extent as, although it's two separate entities, but each entity has an impact on the other. And once I generate an Iser Beis Asayim Karpaf on the Mokoba Nizra, that's going to affect any area that's parutz into the Karpaf, which is, in this case, the 51% that's not Nizra. Nimtza Shachelik Shalo Nizra, parutz b'meloa l'mokoma osur lo. So the part of the karpa that's not nizra, even though it should be considered a separate area, which is fine, but nevertheless, it's parutz into the chelek shenizra, and that's a makom osur b'tiltel. Lachein osur l'taltel af b'makom shelo nizra. Ukiman. How do we identify Rav Huna now in the context of the Machlokas Rav Shimon and Chachamim, Kirabonon, Shecholkim al Rabbi Shimon, Vesovrim She Gagos Vechatseros Vekarpifos, Kol Echad Nechshav Rishus Bifnei Atzmo, the Af Im Ein Bahem Diurin She Osrim Zelze, Osel Italto Mize Loze, Is Lefichach Omer Rav Huna. Kevin shamokom shenizra, v'amokom shelo nizra, prutzim ze lo ze, harehim osrim ze al ze, v'osel taltel bekulo. In other words, we find in the Rabbanan Shita a precedent on the basis of which Rav Huna is going to extend that precedent and apply it to this case of a karpaf. What was the precedent if I can call it, the breakthrough of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that you have areas that are Osrim Zalze. And Rav Huna is now going to apply that to the case of a Karpav, the minority of which is made up of Nizra, the majority is Lo Nizra, and the minority is Oser, it generates an Iser on the part that's Lo Nizra, the majority that's Lo Nizra. And that's similar to the case of the Rabbanan, that you're not allowed to carry from the Gagos into the Chatzeros, or the Chatzeros into the Karpifos, and so forth, that each one of those areas is considered a Rishus Bifnei Atzmo. And the Chiddush of the Rabbanon is that even though it's not a Mokum Dira, right, you know, let's go back for a moment, retrace our steps to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says all these areas are considered as one, because it's not like a roofed area which is residential. The Rabbanan say no, that each one of these areas is a separate area, and therefore you're not allowed to be metaltil from one to the other in a case where the kli was konish visa, let's say, in the chatzah, you can't take it out to the karpaf, or to the ginos, the gagos, and so forth and so on. Is therefore, even though the Rabbanan will admit, even though there's no diurim that generate an Isur, so we can apply that in Rav Huna's frame of reference to the case of a Karpaf, which again is not Lidiur, and we're going to say that one area, and that's the area of Nizra, generates an Isur Tiltil vis-a-vis the other area, which is Eno Nizra. Now, honestly, I would be more comfortable here, but just what I say, just forget about what I'm about to say, but I would be so much more comfortable if there was a Karpaf that was functioning in two different capacities, Nizra and Lo Nizra, with a Mechitza down separating these two areas. Then I would understand the comparison, the analogy to the Rabbanan Shita when they argue with Rav Shimon about the Karpaf and the Gag and the Chotzer. Because if you have Mechitzos that are separating these areas, then I understand that each area is a separate entity unto itself and could generate an Iser one on the other. But that's not going to help me here, because Rav Huna is Bedafka talking about a case where there is no Mechitza between the Chelek HaNizra and the Chelek She'eno Nizra. And the reason why the Chelek HaShe'eno Nizra is also is because it's parts b'meloa. It's completely open and contiguous. It flows into the Chelek HaNizra. So when you're separating areas, you know, I would be personally more comfortable if there were mechitzos, that, you know, partitions that separate the areas. But in the context of this analogy, there are no mechitzos. All right. Now the Gemara is going to quote a different transmission, a different record of Rav Huna. Rav Yirmiyah Midifti Masni Lekula. Because until now, the previous transmission of Rav Huna was Lechumra, because Rav Huna was going to tell us that even if the Karpa, even if the minority of the Karpaf was problematic, so to speak, because it was Nizra, was still going to be Machmir with regard to the entire Karpaf, even that part of the Karpaf which is the majority, and it's not Nizra. And that's Lechumra. Rav Yirmiyah Midifti is going to say that Rav Huna came up with a Kula. How is that so? The Mishnah was talking about a case of Nizra Rubo, that most of the Karpaf was planted. So comes along Rav Huna in this particular presentation, and he says, Hami Uta Shari, which would mean that if only the minority of this Gina is planted, then it's mutter. You can carry in the entire Karpaf. Amrav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Lo Amoran Ela Bebe Sasayim. This only applies that Nizra Miuto is Mutal Taltabikulo if the Nizra is a Besa Sayim, which means it's considered as a Mokum Bifnei Atzma. Aval, if the Nizra is Yosem Besa Sayim, which means that the Chelik Nizra basically is like a Carmelis. And even if you would have had mechitzos around the chelik ha-nizra, it would still be also l'taltil. Now there's no mukaf mechitzos here, b'fnei atzmo. And it's a chelik shalom nizra. The chelik shalom nizra is prutzim zelazeh osur. You can't carry in the entire karpa because the chelik ha-nizra is more than a base of Sayim, Ukiman Kirabi Shimon. So again, why is this a Kula? Omar Rabbi Nachmal, I'm just reviewing it. Omar of Huna, Bered Rabbi Yeshua, Lo Amoron. When do we say that in the case of Nizra Mi Uto, it's Mutter? That's because the Nizra is a base of Sayim. And if it's a Beis HaSayim, then if it would have been Mukaf Mechitzas, it would be Mutal Taltel from the part that's Lo Nizra Litocho. I guess he's saying that there's some sort of like potential heter that's inherent in the Nizra that's a Beis HaSayim. And what is that potential heter? That if it would have been Mukaf Mechitzas, you'd be allowed to be Metaltel. And that's based on Rav Shimon. Right? Because as we said before, Rav Shimon says that if there's no roof and you have these different areas that would seem to be different one from the other. You have Gagos, and you had Chatzeros, and you had Karpifos, and yet Rabbi Shimon allowed you to carry from one to the other. So therefore, says Rav Huna, that in the case where the Chelik HaNizra is a Beis HaSayim, then we're going to allow you to be Metaltel from the Chelik Shalom Nizra into the Chelik HaNizra. And even though you and I would argue, well, the Chelik HaNizra and the Chelik Shalom Nizra are considered two different kinds of areas, but it doesn't matter because Rav Huna now is reflecting Rabbi Shimon, who allows you to carry from one area to the other despite their differences. And the only time now that it's going to be Asur is when you have the Chelik HaNizra that's Yosem Beis HaSayim, which means that if it would have been Mukaf Mechitzas, it would be Asur to be Metaltel on the Chelik Shalom Nizra, is now that there's no Hekef Mechitzos, then he can't carry from the Chelik Shalom Nizra because of that principle that we mentioned before, that it's Paritz Mimoloo to the part that's Asur. But that's only because the Chelik HaNizra is more than a Beis HaSayim. But the main emphasis here is on the Resha of Rav Huna. There Rav Huna is telling us that in a case where the Chelik HaNizra is less than or equal to a Beis HaSayim, which means that it's basically inherently a Mokom of Heter Tiltul, then even though you have a Chelik Shalom Nizra, which seems so different, you know, it's like, you know, one is a Gina and one is a Karpaf or whatever you have, but we're going to go like Rav Shimon and you're allowed to carry from one place to the other. Okay, now we're going back to the discussion about a Karpaf. And we said that a Karpaf was an area that is more than a Beis HaSayim, and it's lo hukaf lidira. So now We're going to quote a braisa. Nita rubo. So until now we've been talking about zora rubo, which means he planted vegetables. Now it's natia. Natia means trees. So he's planting trees, and those trees take up most of the karpa. We'll call it an orchard, if you like. Is hareu kuchotzer umutter. So in other words, like this. If he plants vegetables, then zriya is what we call mevatel dir. In other words, you don't do any sort of tashmishim in a place that's a vegetable patch. You know, you've got your cabbages growing or whatever's growing. You can go in there just to harvest it, but what else are you going to do in the middle of a vegetable patch? So that's called a bittul of dir. Dir means tashmishim, his private usage. So a makom zriya is not considered residential, and therefore it's going to be a karpaf if it has the dimensions of a karpaf. But if you planted trees instead of vegetables, so then hareu kechotzer. Chotzer is a makom dira, right? Because we said that whatever he does in his house, he does, it spills out into his courtyard. You know, they used to eat and drink in the courtyard. It was surrounded by mechitzas. It was very private of an area that's residential. Now, we're going to take an area that is a karpaf, and it's got more than beis asayim, and we're going to call it residential. It's become a chotzer, and you're allowed to be metalta. How so? Because he planted trees. And he writes here, "Shenetias ilonos eino mevatels diurim, kevon shederech b'deyodim listofev tamid b'tzel ha'ilonos." What kind of usage do you get out of an orchard? It's the shade. So you may remember, you know, when I was young and easy under the apple boughs, meaning if I go under the apple trees or whatever is planted there, I am, you know, I'm in a very private kind of area that's shaded, and that's considered like my own chotzer. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Avimi. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Avimi, Vehu, notice he's going to qualify this. When we say that Netiyas Ilonos is not Mavata Ladir, that's only Kisha Asuyin, it's Tablos. Okay, there are rows of trees. Let's see how we translate this. Just one second. I'm on the wrong page here. Oh, only if the trees are arranged in rows, R-O-W-S, and he writes, it makes it a pleasant place to sit, I guess, in the rows, between the rows of the trees. And therefore it's a usable area, meaning it's got tashmishim, it's got dira. However, in the footnote he writes, if the trees are disorderly, you know, here's a tree, there's a tree, there's a tree, then it's not comfortable for people to stroll or sit in the area. And therefore this wooded area would be subject to the law of Nizra, which we said before, makes it into a karpaf. Even though an orchard, in the case of trees that are in rows, is not considered a living area, but nevertheless, a wooded area in our braisa is residential. So we'll see that in halacha there may be different gradations. There's a residential area, and then there is a living area, a different madriga. So living area means where I eat, where I sleep, where I walk around. So a wooded area doesn't fit that bill. You can't call it a living area. We'll see nafkaminas for that. But as far as hukaf ledira is concerned, and your definition of a karpaf, it is hukaf ledira. It's considered residential because between the rows, it's comfortable to get the shade, to enjoy the shade. Now, he adds a note here, which I'm not prepared to understand. Hopefully, as we go along, we'll understand it better. He says the area, meaning these rows of trees, was originally designated for residential purposes, and only afterwards, as an afterthought, he added the trees. And again, you know, you could talk about areas outside of your house which are residential, and then instead of using it as a living area, and you're no longer going to eat and sleep there, but you plant trees there, and at that point, when subsequently the trees are added, the wooded area is considered residential. So again, it was originally residential, and now by adding the trees, and they're in rows, it still retains that status, the original status of being residential, and therefore it's not a karpaf, and it's mutabitilta. And let's just get the names. Who's saying this? This is Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Avimi. Rav Nachman Omar, now we have another shita, a dissenting view. Afal pisha ein asuyin, it's tablos, even though the trees are scattered around, nevertheless it's still considered dira, it's still residential, because you can sit under each tree. So it's not the most perfect kind of orchard for gaining the shade, but it's still usable in that regard. And again, even if the trees are not in rows, according to Rav Nachman, you can still carry there, and it's not a karpaf. Why? Because the karpaf has to be low hukaf ledir, and here it's hukaf ledir. Now the Gemara tells a story, and it says the following. Mar Yehuda ikla leberav huna bar Yehuda. Okay. Chazinu lehanu delo avidi itztabos. So when he visited Rav Huna, he saw that Rav Huna had an area that was planted with trees in a karpaf, which means it was more the Beis Hasayim, but the trees were not organized in rows. And to the surprise of Mar Yehuda, Rav Huna was actually carrying them. Omalei, so Mar Yehuda, in all his naivete, he turns to Rav Huna and he asks him the following question. Lo savra lo mar lo ha di avdimi? Do you not agree with Rav Dimi, who says that if it wasn't trees planted in rows, then it has the status of a karpaf, and it's also a tiltul. Omalei, so Rav Huna responds, Anok Rav Nachman svirle, I accept Rav Nachman, that even if the trees are not organized in rows, nevertheless, it's not a karpaf, it's still called hukaf ledira, and it's mutar b'tilta. Now, in the English translation, you'll see a summary. So I like to go through this summary. It's actually footnote number 7, if that helps anybody. He says, in conclusion, carrying is permitted in an enclosure that's larger than 2 base saw if it's for residential. So you can have a large area that would normally be a karpaf, it's more than a base sasayim, but it's mutar b'tiltul because it's hukaf ledira. If part of it was planted with vegetables, so that's called nizra chelko, then we have to ask two different questions. There are two different variables. Number one, how much of the karpaf was planted? Is it a beis hasayim, is it not? And number two, is it rov, majority, vis-a-vis the area in the Karpaf that's not planted, or is it minority? And here's the way it breaks down. If the Nizra part, again, we're not talking about trees now, we're talking about vegetables, is more than half, it's the rov, then it's osur betiltul, even if the area that's planted is less than a base asai. And that's where we have that principle called, you know, parutz l'makom ha'asur, meaning that we view the entire Karpaf as one entity, and the total of which, if you add the majority, which is Nizra, with the minority that's not Nizra, is more than a base asayim, and therefore it's us. However, if the area that's Nizra is mute, then it depends. How large of an area is it? That 49%. If it's more than a base asayim, then it's osur betiltul. If it's less than base asayim, then it's mutar betiltul. And now he has another part, which again, I don't know where this is coming from. Honestly, he says if it's exactly a base asayim, that's going to be the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Wait, let me just think about that. We had a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim in the case of a kli that was koneshvisa in a chotzer, whether you're allowed to take it out to a karpaf or to a gag. I don't know. Here I'm missing a piece of the puzzle, you know, I have to admit. Now he quotes Rav Huna, who says the following. There are two different versions of Rav Huna, and the issue is whether or not Rav Huna allows carrying in a case where only 49% of this karpaf is planted, and the 49% is two base sa. According to the first transmission, he would prohibit it because he follows the shita of the Chachamim. Again, that's all based on his premise that the Machlokas Chachamim and Rav Shimon is in a case where it's exactly a base saw, which again, as I admit before, I'm not exactly sure where he got that from. We'll see as we go along. And according to Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti's version, he would be Matir Tiltul because he accepts Rav Shimon. Now he adds a note here based on the Chazon Ish. He says, as a practical matter, this issue poses a problem for making an Eruv around a town or a rural area in which there are large gardens or cultivated fields or even unusable lots. These areas would constitute forbidden karpafs, and therefore they would prohibit the rest of the Tzuras HaPesach enclosed area, separating them from the adjoining areas with an eruv. You've got large gardens which have, I guess, the shear of a karpaf, of base of sayim. and that would in turn prohibit the rest of the enclosed area. If there is no fence separating them from the adjoining areas. So I think what he's saying is that if you have an eruv around the town, and within the town you have karpafs, then you're going to have to set up mechitzos to separate the karpaf from the balance of the town, which is surrounded by an eruv. I mean, that's a serious problem. I mean, let's take Yerushalayim, for example, right? We have we have an Erev around the city of Yerushalayim. There are gardens. I mean, people have gardens. I'm going to assume that at least one rich guy somewhere in Yerushalayim has a garden that's a Beis HaSayim, and it's lo hukaf l'dira. It's a vegetable patch, let's say. And if it has trees in it, then it depends if the trees are in rows or not, according to Rav Nachman. I mean, according to Ravimi. So that might present a problem for the Erev itself, because you have a karpaf inside an Erev. And that's food for thought. I mean, the Chazanish is assuming that if the Erev can't be matir, everything that's inside of the Erev, for example, the karpaf, then the whole entity of the Erev is problematic, because he writes here that the karpaf would in turn prohibit the rest of the enclosed area, which is the Erev of what we call a Tzuras HaPesah, unless, he says, there would be a fence separating them from adjoining areas within the Erev. Unless you want to assume that all these gardens are surrounded by fences. I don't know. Right? So that's just an interesting practical footnote here, that we might have a second thought about our Erevs. That was my biggest fear about learning this Masechta, is that I rely on the Erev. A lot of people told me that after I learn Erevin, be careful. I'm not sure if you can rely on the Erev. Anyway, okay, so we're going to stop here. Let's just make a note of where we got to. We're up to Omer of Nachman, Omer Shmuel, here on the top of of Chaf Dalid Omer Aleph. Okay then? So that's where we're going to stop for today.